these words and are grateful to you for sharing in this wonderful service today. And take that away. Chapter the 37th, 38th verse. The Gospel of Luke. In fact, we were in Zechariah this morning in Sunday school talking about the prophecy of this very, very passage of Scripture. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 37 and 38. I'm reading from the NIV, and he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to the highest." They said, "Hosanna."
Hosanna.
They said, "Hosanna." Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As I looked at this passage of Scripture, as we talk about a day of celebration and destiny, God, we come thanking you for this day. Thank you for everything that has already transpired. Thank you for every prayer prayed, every song sung. We thank you for the preparation of this great moment, as we think about the fact that you made an amazing sacrifice for us. So we're grateful to you, and we ask you to continue to bless us. We may not be worth it, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ we know we are. And we seek you, Lord, in this moment to ask you if you will just be with us. We pray that in this wonderful atmosphere that you've already given us, we just ask you to continue to bless, continue to dominate this atmosphere, and let us have a great time in you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. We pray your blessings now upon us, upon those who are here in the sanctuary, those who are listening on the phone, those who will hear this recording later. We are grateful on this Palm Sunday just to say thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God a big praise. He's very worthy to be praised, and I come to you today. You may be seated. I come to you today to say, I don't know about you, but even though this is probably the most different Palm Sunday than I've ever seen before in my lifetime, and certainly in yours, right? I remember when we would come to church when I was growing up as a kid, and somebody would have a palm strand for us at the door. And they would pin it on us. And that was the symbol that we were celebrating Palm Sunday. Today, as I think about it, you know, there's only one who's happy about the churches being closed today, or the fact that people can't get the word. But I'm so glad that God always makes a way. I'm grateful as pastors and shepherds of all various religions. We've been talking all week long about the fact that somehow and some way God gave us the technology to let his word still go out. Here we are on the precipice of both Passover, of Easter, of Ramadan, and guess what? God's word is still going to go out. Do I have a witness this morning? And what I know is that between you and me, can I just tell you this little secret? God is pleased to know that we're going on anyhow. He is pleased to know that we are not sitting in defeat, that we are literally recognizing that we are victorious. Do I have a witness here? And in being victorious, we know that he is able, and he's showing himself strong, and is making clear to every one of us that we are able to keep on moving anyhow. And I'm just grateful for it. I now know what the old folks used to say. I know now what they mean when they used to say that he gives us blessings anyhow. And as we show up today, we are grateful. My friends, as I look at this text reminds us of the fact that the people of God were looking for God to come. They were looking for the Mashiach, as the Hebrew word for Messiah. They were looking for him. They were expecting him, and quite frankly, he didn't come nearly as quickly as they thought he should. Now, by the way, I said that, and I paused for a minute, because I know you've never had that experience before, where you're looking for God to come, looking for God to move, looking for God to make a difference, and he doesn't necessarily come when you and I get ready. I'll just say amen for myself. Me and Brother Bill understand, right? And in this case, not only did he not come when they thought he should, he didn't even come the way they thought he should. And again, that's very analogous to what happens in our lives as well. We ask God for more strength, and he gives us more problems. Somebody didn't hear me. Right? We ask God for more strength, not necessarily that he gives us, but he allows. Okay? And when he allows, it means that if you really want strength, you've got to do something to be able to bone up, to become better and better all the time, right? When Deacon Rice was playing basketball, if he wanted to be a better ball player, it wasn't about calling on God and saying, do me a big favor, just pour into my hands and feet so that I might be able to do a better job. It was about going out there and practicing. It's about going out there and making sure that you understand that no matter what, when you are on the basketball court, you've got an opponent, and you're determined to take that opponent down. Do I have a witness here this morning? And what I want you to know is that for every one of us, we are in the middle of a battle. There is no question this battle is going on all the time. You wondering, mother, why your kids act crazy and stuff like that? There's a reason. Because there is somebody who wants to take your joy away. Dad, they want to take your joy away. You know who that is? It's an evil spirit that is real and it's in the world. Do I have a witness here? Because you see, their job description is only one, and that is to tear down everything God puts together. And so I come to you today to remind you the fact that from a rudimentary standpoint, we need to recognize God has made us to win. He has made us to win, and sometimes we don't look like winners. Let me help you out. I'm going to take some of you back, and some of you are just going to have to just imagine. But I saw the Thriller in Manila. I was really little. I was really a little guy. All I know is that this was a fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. That's exactly who it was. And in fact, they went, I don't know that they went the whole rounds. I don't even know. They may have gone all the way to the end. But when it got over, they said Joe Frazier won. If you looked at Joe Frazier's face, he didn't look much like a winner. As a matter of fact, all I can say is if you looked at his face and somebody said he was the winner, you sure wanted to see a picture of Muhammad Ali and say, if that's the winner, I sure want to see the loser. Well, I say all that to say that sometimes as winners, we don't necessarily look like winners. But we are anyway. And let me be clear that when Jesus came riding in on a colt, he didn't look like a winner. To some folks, they couldn't quite understand why this man from Galilee, this guy that's called the Son of God, this guy that's supposed to be so powerful, this guy that healed people, this guy that's supposed to be the Messiah, how in the world does this guy end up being the Messiah riding into Jerusalem on a dumb animal? Somebody didn't hear me. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? See, some people can only see, and in the first century, there were some who only saw a donkey as dumb, as an animal that you wouldn't dare assume that you would ride on for a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But what I love about the fact is that God already prepared this thing. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but I've seen God do some amazing stuff And a lot of us in this room are intelligent people, but there are moments that we are dumb about one thing or another. I'm going somewhere, so you better watch me now. Right? I don't care how good you are at one thing, you're not always that good at the next thing. Do I have a witness here? Right? There's some who are good at cooking, but not great at baking. Come on now. I'm trying to be nice. I'm just, you understand. Michael Jordan found out that he was great on the basketball court, but he was nothing in baseball. Okay, I'm sorry. Did I stray away from my text? I'm sorry. The fact is, for everyone, by the way, I enjoy singing, I enjoy preaching, but if you put me up at the piano or the organ, I can't do nothing. You hear me? Not at all. Why? Because that wasn't my calling. That is these guys' calling, right? That is Sis's calling. That is all of those folks that we've heard from today. That is their calling. But what we know is that Jesus wasn't worried about what he looked like when he came into Jerusalem. His coming into Jerusalem on a donkey had nothing to do with what he looked like, because in truth, God knew, Jesus knew, that he had a mission and he had to take care of that mission. This morning I come to tell you that as we look at this day of celebration, that it's important for us to remember that no matter what it looked like, and no matter how many palm branches were laid down on the street, I came to tell you that this Son of God came to handle his business. He came to recognize that no matter how he looks, he's got a job to do. And even though he starts out on Sunday morning, he knows that by the end of the week, he's going to be in some serious trouble. But it doesn't stop him from going into the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. For every one of us, we need to remember that we are, everything that we do and everything we're called into is not always going to be that pretty. Let me see, I heard four amens, and I need somebody to know it's not always going to be pretty, but it doesn't mean that you stop when it gets ugly. Let me be real. There are times when I know that sometimes we just want to quit because we get tired, we get messed up, we shouldn't be this hard. Whatever it is, we get, and all I can tell you is I'm always reminded, if our parents, their parents, and every one of our ancestors gave up when it got ugly, when it got to the place that they wanted to give up, we wouldn't be here today. But somehow they kept going anyway, and they had less than what you and I have today. I'm reminded that there was a 5'7¾ man that on yesterday was a commemoration of his 52nd year of his assassination. And I can tell you from what I have been told that this man did not want to put himself out there like that, but God had called him. And it didn't always look good for Martin Luther King Jr., but I came to tell you that if it hadn't been for Martin Luther King Jr., there's a whole lot of freedoms we have today that we wouldn't have if he had decided to play it safe, to play it pretty, to decide to do only what was safe. I come to you today to tell you that when we celebrate this day of celebration for Palm Sunday, that we must remember that as a result of Palm Sunday, there were people who were laying palms on the street, not because they were looking at this guy to be the Son of God and the leader of salvation. They were looking to get rid of the Roman government. They were tired of being treated the way they were by the Romans. They wanted to get rid of Pilate. They wanted to get rid of Herod. They wanted to get rid of all those dudes, and they looked at Jesus as the answer. But I come to tell you today that while on the one hand, Jesus is the answer, he has reminded us by his example that you will be able to handle the Roman government a whole lot better if you learn how to give your life to me. And that's still true today. That's still true today. That's why Christian folks shouldn't be going around here with their head down about the coronavirus. We should not have our head down because of government and because of who's the president or who's the mayor or who's the governor. I came to tell you there's somebody bigger than the virus. There's somebody bigger than the governor. There's somebody bigger than the mayor. There's somebody bigger than the president. And all of them are going to come and go, but God is still going to be God. The Bible said that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Oh, I came to tell you there's some good news about the fact of who Jesus is. Oh, yeah, it's a day of celebration because this is the day that they celebrated his triumphal entry. And whatever may have been in his mind, what matters most to us is what was in God's mind. Do I have a witness here? In God's mind, he had brought his son. He loved his son. He sacrificed his son. He knew what his son was going to go through. He knew that there were people that weren't going to be happy with who he was, the very ones who were leading government. The Jewish government didn't want to be bothered with him, but it didn't stop him from coming into Jerusalem. And by the way, I don't know about you, but it's amazing that in all those years, they waited on him. He had a 3.5-year public ministry. And he had a 30-year private one. Y'all don't hear me? He had a 30-year private one that we know absolutely nothing about. But in 3.5 years, he had a public ministry. Can I tell you something? I need to let you in on this secret. The fact is, he knew that the very 12 that he called, as human as they were, he knew that they were going to be the ones to lead the church in the future. That they were the cornerstone, the foundation of who the church is today. And yes, it's very important for us to know those guys were not perfect. They made mistakes just like you and I do. And there are too many times when we think we can't do something because we are depending only on ourselves. Got news for you. It'll always be that way as long as we depend on ourselves. But the fact is, even with his disciples, they learned that they better learn to depend on Jesus. And oftentimes, they depended on him while they could see him, but they had a hard time trying to figure out how to depend on him when they couldn't see him anymore. Here we see him coming. God's got a plan, and I got news for you. God's always got a plan. Amen. So that's why we should be asking questions. Lord, what is your plan? Yes, sir. Do I have a witness here this morning? What is your plan? Yes. Lord, I know you've got a plan, and I know that you've got something going on, and I know you want to use me, but Lord, what is your plan? Yes. What is it that you need me to do? And we need to have the attitude of Isaiah that basically says, Lord, if you need somebody, send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. On this day of celebration, we see Jesus making his way into Jerusalem. He's not at all bothered. He's not at all messed up over the fact that people are glowing about his showing up, because he knows there's another crowd that's going to say, crucify him at the end of the week. But he was definitely determined to carry out his mission and to get it done no matter what. Coming in on a slow, ugly, smelly donkey. Somebody doesn't hear me. I'll try it again. Slow, ugly, smelly donkey is the way that he showed up in Jerusalem to do some very interesting and important work as he was heading himself on to Calvary. The Bible tells us later that when he went in, that one of the first places he stopped was into the synagogue, the place of the temple where the people were trading. They were supposed to be there to pray. They were supposed to be there to worship. They were supposed to be there to have a good time in God. But when he showed up, he started turning over tables because they were paying more attention to money changers than they were to the prayers and the worship of God. My friends, it wasn't as if those money changers weren't supposed to be there, because they were. They were supposed to be there because when people brought their offering, they oftentimes had to barter. So I need you to know the fact that they showed up was not an issue. The problem was they were doing more of that than they were of praising. Do y'all hear me this morning? And the fact is, anything of excess is too much anyway, and that's not what he wants. And the Bible tells us that he literally turned over tables. Do I have a witness here? Now, by the way, let me be clear that his anger was not about himself. His anger, if you listen to what he said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. Yes. Yes. As he comes in this day of celebration, we see that he, in fact, if you read further in the passage, you'll see that he weeps for Jerusalem. Yes. He weeps for Jerusalem because he sees on the one hand what Jerusalem has become. Secondly, he weeps because he realizes that his time is near. Thirdly, he weeps because he knows that in a few years from then, about 30 years after the time that we have chronicled here in the text, that Jerusalem will be destroyed. And what he does is still come into Jerusalem anyway. He knows that he's walking in to a very difficult time. He knows that he's walking in to a people who don't realize who he is. He knows that he's walking in to the end of his earthly life, and yet he walks in anyway. Can I pause for just a moment and say that the lesson for us to remember, and the reason why it is a celebration, the reason why I said this morning it's important for us to rejoice with Paul, is to recognize life ain't always pretty. Life is not always going to be the way we want it. Life is not always going to give us the answers. Life is not always going to be a bed of roses. But the issue for us is to remember that no matter what life gives us, go into life understanding that you're centered in Jesus Christ, and no matter what comes and what doesn't come, you're going to be all right. He's going to make it all right. He's going to work with you. The palm branches didn't bother him in the same way that we should not be bothered by what people have to say about us. What matters is what God has to say about us. We should not be worried about folks not giving us the recognition that we believe we deserve. It only matters that God gives us the recognition that we deserve. I came to tell you that as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he reminds us of our own humanity and to remind us that every day we have an opportunity to be the best that we can be. The word tells us, the word tells us that even though Jesus knew all that, there was only one time he questions his dad. One time. And that's at the stone of agony, where he says to him, if it be thy will. I still got a friend here, don't I? Somebody knows what I'm talking about, don't you? The word says, he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. Right? That's what he said. That was the moment that we see him in the greatest agony. And up to that point, we never hear him complain. We never hear him concerned about anything. And in that very moment, God never answers him. At least we don't hear him audibly. But what we hear and what we see is that even in his silence, he spoke loud. And the lesson for us is to understand. You got that. See, some people didn't catch that. Right? I said it in his silence. He spoke loudly. And for every one of us, there are times when we don't hear God or see God move as fast as we want him to move. We get angry, upset, we get depressed, we get messed up. And what we need to understand is God's moving on his timing. And when you come out of eternity, there is no such thing as worrying about time, because he's already said in his word that when 1,000 years goes by, it's as if it were a day. Do I have a witness here? The time of celebration for Jesus was knowing that humanity was in trouble and knowing that God had decided that there would be no more animal sacrifice. And I don't know about you, but if I knew that my fate or my destiny was that by the end of the week I was going to find myself up on somebody's cross, I don't know that I'd be that celebratory going in town and everybody's having such a good time throwing a party for my triumphal entry. But what Jesus shows us, both in terms of his entry and his time on the cross, is to understand that he was so mission-driven that no matter what the environment was, no matter what the circumstances was, he was determined to carry out the mission that God had sent him for. Because you see, it wasn't just a day of celebration for him. It was his destiny that was on the line. It was God's will that was on the line. And it's important for us to remember that while we celebrate this very important time, and for many of us who on Ash Wednesday gave up some things and now on Palm Sunday can go back to those things, whatever our sacrifice was, it was not near as big as the sacrifice that Jesus made for every one of us. And on that day, he recognized the culmination of his ministry was coming to a close, but he also recognized, I've got to still do what God needs me to do. I've still got to do the things that God wants me to do. And I know that it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to go get it done anyhow. And for every one of us, the message to us on Palm Sunday is not just looking at Jesus and watching what he did, but it's how would I handle my own Palm Sunday? My own Palm Sunday, when I'm dealing with the issues of life and I feel like I'm getting ready to lose my mind, what is my job? My job is to keep on focusing on the mission that God has given you. Go do the mission. Go get the work done. Go on believing that everything's going to be all right. He will walk with you. He will talk with you. He will strengthen you. He will lift you up out of the muck and the miry clay. He will. Because it's not just a day of celebration. It's a day of destiny for us. For every one of us, at the end of the day, the question is, where do you want to live in eternity? I came to tell you that eternity waits for every one of us. Destiny waits for every one of us. You want things to be better? You need to give some stuff to God and quit carrying it yourself. Do I have a witness this morning? We're trying to manage and control and all this other kind of carrying on. You can't manage it, baby. You can't control it all. You need to make sure to give that to God. That's what St. Francis of Assisi was trying to say. Lord, help me to understand the things that I can change. Let me change the things I can, but let me know, have the wisdom to know the difference, the importance to be able to recognize what belongs to God. But I came to tell you, can I let you in on a secret today? Nobody can steal your joy unless you let them. Nobody can take you away and put you down unless you let them. Nobody can take your spirit and the love of God that you have in you. You, me, we're responsible for that. And so therefore, it's important that we remember to be mission critical. I'm determined to keep on fighting. I'm determined to keep on working. I'm determined to keep on praying. I'm determined to keep on going, knowing that I've got evil trying to knock me down all the time. I said we're in the middle of a battle. Today, I keep on praying. Lord, I want you, please. I know what the experts say. I know what the politicians are saying. But Lord, I want you to miraculously, in your timing, take this virus away. Take it away, because it's going to take him a year. It's going to take him a year to get the vaccine. Y'all don't hear me. It's going to take him a year just to get the vaccine. And by the time that happens, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people will have lost their lives. But I want him in his own way, whenever he's ready. Lord, take away this virus. Miraculously. I can't wait to get up one morning and I want to see the press conference of the coronavirus people in the White House. I want them to be standing up there baffled as the day is long. We can't figure out what happened. All we know is social distancing must have done all this. I want to be able to say it wasn't about social distancing. It was about the God you serve, the God I serve, because he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's about celebration. It's about destiny. Every one of you in this room, everybody who's listening, God's got a plan. Do you hear me today? He's got a plan. Let him guide. Let him lead. And don't let the enemy make you think you can't. Because when I was teaching school, I used to tell the kids, can't is spelled T-R-Y. Y'all didn't hear me. I did tell them, now don't do this on a spelling test. But I just want you to know about life, that I'm here and many of you are here, not because 1 + 1 became 2. We're here because God was an amazing ingredient. Try to make bread without yeast. I'm done, but I need to say this. Try to make bread without yeast. You got all the eggs, you got all the flour, you got everything else, but I got news for you. If you don't have any yeast, that bread's not going to rise. I came to tell you that if you have a wonderful life, a wonderful bank account, and all those other things, but you don't have God. Do I have a witness here? That one ingredient makes all the difference. And so I say to you today that if you know who he is, why don't you give him a praise right now? If you know who he is, he's the leader of your life. Remember this, when you make the decision for Jesus Christ, here's what I can guarantee. You ready? Eternal life. I didn't say a bed of roses, did I? I didn't say that all your problems are solved, did I? I didn't say there's going to be a lot easier for you, did I? I said eternal life. But here's the good news. For all those things I said before, you aren't doing it by yourself. You got an eternal friend that is standing by your side, walking through everything that you are walking through. And willing, by the way, to do some things, to move some stuff out of the way. I said I'm done. I am. I got to go to Joshua for a second. This is why Joshua was victorious. Why was he victorious? Because God had already made the way. God said to Joshua, if you would just follow me and do what I ask you to do, he said, you're not going to have to fight that hard because I've already won the battle. I got news for you. We are cousins of Joshua. Somebody didn't catch that. We are the cousins of Joshua. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that when you're going through your battles, get out of the way and let God do the work. This battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And for every one of us, a day of celebration, a day of destination. Let's stand and give God some praise, and we'll hear our final song. Every Sunday, we make sure that people know if you want to join this Christian band, if you want to give your life to Christ, you've got every opportunity to do it. There should never be a person who comes to Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church and says, sure would have given my life to Christ today, but nobody asked. Every Sunday, we provide the opportunity for people to give their life to Christ for a reason, because anytime the doors are open to the church, somebody just might want to give their life to Christ. What's that mean, preacher? Whether it's by baptism, whether it's by letter, whether it's by Christian experience, the fact is anybody can come. And you know, that's what I love. The biggest heathen can come. I'm just going to say amen myself. And some of those heathens were us. Amen belongs right there. Your friend, your family, if not you. But Jesus can. If you believe that he can change. He can literally change what's going on. He changed time. They didn't know what time was until Jesus came. Then all of a sudden they had to do AD and BC. I'll preach on that another time. I know that caught a few of you off guard just now. So what we know, whether you're on the phone, whether you're here in the sanctuary, I see every Sunday as a day to really say, Lord, I want to rededicate myself to you. I want to rededicate my relationship with you. And that's important. And it's important that we know that we can. And he stands with his arms wide open, joyous about his children.